So, welcome to the show. Now, this is going out on Mintwave Radio Station. So, ask Alexa, or you can go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/Mintwave-radio to listen in to any of our shows live and see our schedule. If you're watching or listening to this on a podcast, you can see our whole network. Again, KarenRobertsCoaching.com/podcast-network. You'll be able to see this podcast and others that are in the network. You can download the app for Apple and Android. And please subscribe and follow or leave a comment. Today's show is episode 113. And today we have Usama Chandio from Pakistan, who is a mindset life coach. Now, we're going to be talking about positivity, which is perfect for the show. A cup of positivity with just a sprinkling of woo-woo. I'm your host, Karen Roberts, and we provide a platform for coaches, consultants, therapists, and healers to get their message heard to the people who need to hear it. As owners of Mintwave Radio Station and the Raising Vibrations podcast network on Podbean, we also have a directory. So come to the website and find the right coach, the right therapist for you. And if you'd like to be featured, then get in touch. Now, Usama is a mother of a neurodivergent child, and she is also a breast cancer survivor. So welcome to the show, Usama, all the way from Pakistan.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm very good. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. So you are a mother. So for people out there that don't understand neurodivergence, can you first explain what that is?
Yes. Okay. We humans are divided into two different types. Like neurotypicals are the ones who are normal, and neurodiversity is called, it's actually a new word invented by some people around the world for people who have disabilities, special disabilities such as hearing impairment, ADHD, Down syndrome, and many others. Like people who are hearing impaired are not such a special child, right? They don't need special activities. They don't need special schooling. So a new word invented is called neurodivergent.
Ah, okay. And your son, how old was he when you realized that something was different, or that he was learning different or whatever?
Well, when he was born, he was all okay. He was growing up with all the activities which newborn do. When he was 5 months, he was actually attacked by pneumonia, double pneumonia. And we had no choice. We had to go through the doses, which were really heavy. We had to give him antibiotics, which actually did not suit him. And when he was 9 months, he was diagnosed with hearing impairment there and then. When he was 8 months, basically, we realized that he is not actually hearing us, or he is not actually going through that phenomena, that particular age appropriate thing. So we had a test that was called BERA. It is used basically for the people who are not hearing properly. So we had to go through that test, and then he was diagnosed with a hearing impairment. And it was really, really a period where I was basically thinking that my world has vanished. Truly. That was the moment I actually feel for mothers who are suffering from these problems, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's all we want, isn't it? Our children to be healthy. Then we've done our job. As long as, you know, they get through life and they're healthy and they're happy. So I can imagine it's, you know, we take life for granted. And so for parents dealing with either ill children or children with disabilities, just makes it a little bit, you know, it's life is going to change. Did it change for you?
It did. Well, Karen, let me tell you something where I belong. I belong to a very good family, and that family pampered me a lot, even in my maternal, even in my paternal, and even my dad himself. He actually did not let me go anywhere alone. I had to go with the driver because I did not know the ways, even in Pakistan. And over here, you know, rickshaw, taxis, and buses, everything is so common in here, but my dad never let me do it. And after I had my baby, like when he was actually diagnosed with hearing impairment, I just vanished my world. And then I thought for a second that, Osama, why don't you stand up for him? Like, it's not the end, it's just the starting. You just found out that he's hearing impaired, but alhamdulillah, he's walking. He's also, he can also see, he can eat, he have everything. So why just one thing makes you feel down? So everybody in house and out of the family, you know, that they give so many advices, so many guidance, so many. So I just said, all right, I don't have ears. I just have a mind to think. I kept on researching things and I went over it. I struggled a lot, Karen. Either anybody supported or nobody supported. I was available for him.
Take up a lot of time. It's going to take up a lot more time. Dealing with that, and it must be very difficult for some if they're struggling already. So what do you feel is what sort of difficulties do parents of neurodiversive children face in normal life?
I think, Karen, the first factor which matters is parents standing on the same page. Like, it's the most important thing is that parents should support each other. Either way out, they have to take care of their child, and they have to make things better for their children, right? So why do they have communication gap, right? If mother is taking a decision, that is also beneficial for child only, and even if father is taking a decision, that is also beneficial for child. Why don't they spend time with the child rather than, you know, argumenting and being, you know, defensive for each other? You know, that is truly a time consuming. And the second factor which matter is a child itself. You know, where he feels happy, where he feels comfortable. Because we have to schedule things for him. Like, schooling is the most important. Because when a child learns, When a child goes to school, he learns different habits from his age-appropriate criteria.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for me, like, it was really, in Pakistan, we do send kids early, like it's 3 or 4. But I sent my child from 1.5. Like, when he was 1.5, I have taken him to a school called Jimbiri, Play and Music. It was just a play school, but I took mother and toddler programs there, and I sent him for a preschool there. And I saw drastic change because he was interested in arts. He was then interested in very good activities like material work, fine motor skills, which obviously all mothers are not trained in that way. Karen, all mothers are not trained. Some mothers are actually illiterate. Some mothers are always educated. So that is a different, but a child needs that time. So
yeah.
I think it's not that we select a very good Montessori or a very good preschool. We can even put him in a local school or her in a local school just to learn things from other kids. And this was really beneficial for me. Because my son started to sit and eat on his own. Like, I was at spoon feeding him And he was actually telling everybody that drink the glass in the water, drink water in the glass and eat in a plate with a spoon. And all those techniques, all those fine motor skills are really beneficial till now.
Yeah, sure.
He is very good with material work.
Right. So for you, I mean, so you've been through quite a bit. So you also say that you're a breast cancer survivor. So when did this happen? Was this before your child, after your child? When did this all come about?
It's just recent. You can see my hair. I had a long hair. I was a Rapunzel.
Yeah, but it's growing back fast. Yeah. Come on.
It is. I'm really happy with it. Because this, Karen, let me tell you, this disease made me stand up for myself. I was actually thinking, like it has been a decade, I have been thinking about others. I have been thinking about my children. I have been thinking about my husband, my in-laws, my parents, and what community will say, what people will say. But now, I stand up for myself. I make myself first priority. I think this is going to happen. I take accountability of everything I do. I take accountability of everything I think. So this disease was basically a blessing for me. This made me stand up for myself. This made me feel that, Osama, why are you doing this with yourself? You get life once. And what is going to change if you are not going to stand up with yourself? You will keep sleeping on this bed. You will go through more chemotherapies. You will go through more mental illness. Why don't you stand up for yourself? And there and then I decided to do something for myself. And see, I am a life coach today. And I'm helping other people to overcome all these negative flooded emotions.
Right. And I mean, that's just such a good outlook to have, because for many, hearing that word, you know, the C word, is enough to bring many people down. But as you just mentioned, you know, so, you know, a lot of it, and possibly why you ended up with it, is because of the amount of pressure, you know, partly, I'm not saying it's all blamed on that, but when women are, and not just women, men as well, are put under so much pressure, which means they're under so much stress. And like you say, you know, you have to deal with your children, you have to deal with your husband, the in-laws. So mentally, there's a lot going on. Obviously, that's putting on a lot of stress, which means cortisol is in the body. And we know that when there's too much cortisol long-term, it's going to have a knock-on effect to the immune system. And so long-term like that can be a trigger for all sorts of other ailments. So where do you think, why do you think you had this sort of, you know, epiphany to turn things around and you have such a positive outlook on life?
Because, Karen, mental illness is not a choice, but recovery is. This is what turned up, like, this is what turned up in my mind. Like, I was actually so fond of reading books. I was so fond of creativity. I was a preschool teacher once before my wedding, before my marriage. And I used to love my lifestyle. And in this decade, what have I done to myself? Like, right now, I have a communication gap with my husband because of my child. Not because I am not his choice. He doesn't love me. It's not that. But we are not on the same boat. Like, sometimes we argue on his therapy. Sometimes we argue on his schooling. Sometimes we do argue on his well-being. However, we both are actually looking after him. We both love him. And in that sense, I believe that people who actually love each other, they should understand each other. So when I was going through my disease, I found out that nobody else is actually looking after my son. Nobody is taking him for therapies. Nobody is sending him to school. Nobody is actually doing some activities which I used to do at home. So he is lacking that period. Obviously, 2 years of COVID already brought him back, right? And then one more year of my treatment turned him like drastic change. He is, mashallah, 10 years old. He is 10 years old. But he is not even in nursery now, right? So that is a big change. So when I was seeing that, obviously I was not on my feet. I was, because I had to go through 32 chemotherapies, Karen, which is wow. which is not really less. I had to go through too much. Like, I was flooded with emotions. I cannot even express that. When I was actually looking at my child and I was seeing, Usama, get up. He needs you. Usama, wake up. He needs you. This thoughts were actually, these were my nightmares at that.
Right. But that's not going to help you recover, is it? Those feelings of guilt exactly. that you're not doing things, but you can't, you're ill and you need to recover. So it must have been quite a difficult position to be in.
It was like inner conflicts going on. And you know, that was actually making me more weak. So yes. one day when my child was, actually he was, when he saw me on bed, you won't believe, Karen, he wasn't going anywhere. He was like, stick here. Mama, are you hurting? Mama, are you in fever? He was doing like that. And that made me cry. I was like crying out my lungs, truly. I was so deep down hurted that what to do. So I prayed to my God, and my mother prayed for me, my father prayed for me, my husband prayed for me. So I believe this life, the second life I got from my God, is actually a blessing. I don't want to waste it. So I just, the next day, I was free from my treatment. I searched on the internet what to do, what not to do, where to go. I researched on different things, and then I got this NLP registration form, and I just filled it like that because I had to do something. And after that, when I searched about neuro-linguistic programming, and when I went through all those sessions, and I feel amazing. It was a life-changing experience. Honestly, Karen, this changed my life. And there and then, I thought, anger is not making any difference in my life. Negative emotions are not doing any good to me. Limited beliefs are not empowering me. So now, I have to be an empowered one. And I stood up for myself and I said, do it. Just go through it.
Wow.
Do it. Whatever.
Good.
Failure is always a feedback. Failure is not the end. So I truly believe, Karen, that if we try, sometimes we do pass and sometimes we do fail. But failing is not the end. We should keep on trying. And I did that.
Well, I mean, well done you for even having the mental strength in that sort of predicament and having to deal with a child who needs extra help. I mean, that's all it is not ill or anything. Hearing impairment is just something that, you know, like many need to just overcome. It's just one thing, but I'm sure all the other senses are going to be heightened. So I suppose it's just the way of working differently with them. So have you found that the schools work differently with him, or do you have to do separate things?
No. He was actually going to a mainstream school. Karen, let me tell you one incident in my life. From 4 years back, in 2018, I found one, because in Pakistan, we don't have that many facilities, right? So I had to go abroad. So I chose Dubai because it was really near my country and it was affordable as well. And it was really convenient because two hours flight, and then we can come back in 2 days. Like, so I decided to contact one doctor there, and I had that gut feeling. Why don't I get him diagnosed with different things like speech audiometry, aided audiometry, unaided audiometry, so I know where he is right now, right? Mm. I wanted to know his frequency level. I wanted to know his level. So I asked my husband will you come with me? So he said that over here in Pakistan, we have all the facilities that we are going through. I said, no, I have researched about these things, and we should go and get him checked. But my husband wanted to come, but he cannot because my mother-in-law was unwell, and he is the one who is looking after her, because my sister-in-laws are married and my brother-in-law is in America. So he was the one looking after her. He said that I cannot leave her alone here for 1 day, because he is a diabetic she is a diabetic patient, and I cannot go. So I decided to go alone, but as I told you, my father don't let me go anywhere alone. he said, I'll come with you. I said, all right, let's go. My father wanted to take care of all the expenses, but I said, no, this child is my responsibility, so I have to take care of all the expenses. I won't let you do it, because you know I don't want to burdenize anyone with me or my child. This is my rule of life. So Karen, over there, what I found, that in my son there were stones. There were stones because of wax. Wax was hardened each day, and nobody here in Pakistan actually took that out. Really? So what I did, I was like, see, Husaba, you took that decision, you take accountability of that decision, and you made it. Like, they took out those stones, and my father and I were like shocked there. I will send you a video where my son is going through that procedure.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And he was like, my son was so potential about hearing, and he wanted to do it. So he was like doing like that.
Bless him. And so that was the cause. That was the cause of it,
was
it?
And he was just 5 years old then. So I just decided, I took him for that medical evaluation and everything. And over there, I found out that there's a blood clot. What do you say? It is like a blood clot in here.
Blood clot, yeah.
Yeah. Which can actually, he can be curable. Nobody can go through that surgery or anything. But by time being, when he starts speaking, and that can build. So, you know, when you take a decision, just stick to it. Sometimes you get positive responses from them.
Mm. Yeah, so but you wouldn't have known. You wouldn't have known if you hadn't gone over that.
Yeah. See, I was really stubborn at that time that I have to go to Dubai. I will go to Dubai. I will give up everything for that. I don't know what was going in, but that mother instinct in me pushed me. That is, Saba, you have to do it. Go through it and go it.
You listened to yourself. You listened to your intuitive message that was within.
Yes.
And you went with it, and you didn't let anybody else deter you from the decision you'd made to help your child.
Yeah.
See, you have such a good outlook on life and so positive. So now you're helping others, right? So now you've decided. So now you do NLP. So you're a mindset and life coach. And who are your focus? Who do you want to help the most?
I want to help all the neurodivergent parents. I really want to help them. I really want to make sure that they are actually in better state of mind. I really want to work on their wellness, because when parents are actually thinking positive, positive happens, Karen. I have experienced that.
See, yeah, it's going to have a knock-on effect.
Yeah, with my flooded emotions, nothing helped me. With my negativity, nothing helped me. But when I started thinking positive, when I started taking accountability of everything, everything is like happening for me. Like, I am not even stressed out. I'm not anxious about anything. I am not being curious that what is... Otherwise, I used to think, what will my son do? How will he make a friend? And so many, like, I had list to go on.
Right. But when you accept what is,
yeah,
you accept it, and then you're going with the flow. Sounds like you're just sort of going with it and being happy in the moment. I mean, that goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah. In the end, we love our children, right, Karen? Mm-hmm. So even they have ability or disability, they are our children. So exactly. Why not working for them rather than being anxious, rather than being curious? Why don't we work on ourselves and themselves, both?
Right. And but that's, do you find, and obviously, you know, things are possibly different here to over there in Pakistan. Do you notice that women, in particular mothers, may feel that, again, all the things that they should be doing with their children and everybody else, and so that then their self-care does come last and they feel guilty if they're taking time out to focus on themselves?
Yeah, that's why I said, Karen, I really want to work on mom and I really want to work on dad. Because being a parent, I really feel that. Because apart from everything, what life is taking care of, we cannot fight with life, right? But we can do what is in our hands. So this message is like for all the parents around, that the most important factor right now is you being peaceful. So work on yourself, work on your mindset, try taking out a little time for yourself so you can actually see what positive effect can do for you, right?
Yeah.
So I really believe that either it's a disease, any disease, it's not even a cancer, it can be any disease. I will really work on those people. I will really love to work on people who are having bad relationship with each other or communication gap with each other. I will really love to work with parents. It can be a neurotypical parent or a neurodivergent parent. I will really love to work with all the humans who need my help. Basically, my main concern when I became a coach, I took this niche that, that wasn't trending actually, that you have to take a niche. So I decided that I will be working with parents who have a difficult child or different abilities child or neurodiversity, whatever you want to call it. And I will also work with single parents who are having difficult time spending with them, thinking about them, taking right decisions for them, setting up goals for them. I can work with any of these. So
of
right now, I am really excited to experience my journey.
Awesome. You've come through a lot. So now it's your time to thrive. And then, yeah, because you've come through all of this and you're a thriver, you've proved that you've come through this this awful thing that so many people are suffering from these days. But and do you believe that your positive outlook has made a difference to your recovery?
Yes. Now I don't even care what people say. I don't even care what people think about. Well, you know, Karen, when before it was like 4 years back, when I used to take my child to a restaurant and I used to see people sympathizing them, like sympathizing my son, and then asking, "Is your daughter okay? Is your daughter also having a problem?" Because she was actually trying to explain her brother. So the people used to think that both of them are having same problems and all. I used to feel offended. But now when people actually say it, I say, yes, my son is a neurodivergent and my daughter is a neurotypical. So they both have to communicate somehow. So they are communicating. Alhamdulillah, right. my children are doing good.
Yeah, and there's nothing to be afraid of. Yeah, exactly. Obviously. Nothing to be offended of. Your children are your children, and they're different.
It was because of my mindset. I had negative thinking. I had negative thought. So, all even though people are positive and they are coming with sympathizing, I used to be offended. But now, when I know, yeah, the people are coming to me because they feel sympathized. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. So I keep on doing that. In the morning when I wake up, I say, Usama, new day, new beginning. Let it go. Let it be. Whoever is shouting behind your back, let it be. Let it be. Just be yourself. Calm down yourself. Because you know, when people make you angry, what you do? You don't give time to that your kids. Karen, I have really, really experienced all that. I am talking out an experience, right? I have been through a lot. I cannot even express in 1 hour show. That means a lot of time. But still, I can just cut too short that I have experienced a lot. So now I have come to a decision that those emotions, those negativity were basically just flooding my mind, making my body lazy. I wasn't loving myself. I wasn't caring for myself. I wasn't even thinking about myself. But now, when I have positivity in me, my kids do witness that. Wow, mom, you look good. My daughter keeps on complimenting me. The other day, I wear shalwar kameez most of the time, Karen. So my daughter was, Mama, I saw your pictures the other day. It was from your school. You used to wear jeans, top, and you used to look so good. Why don't you wear jeans? And that actually gave me a clue. Yes, why can't I wear jeans? There's nothing bad about it. I'm not even relieving my body. I'm not doing anything with my body. I can wear it for her if that makes her feel good. Now I only think what matters to my kids. I don't actually now think.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What other people think is irrelevant. And I love that attitude.
My parents are my strong support camp. My dad and my mom supports me like anything. They are like, okay, Usama, you decided, go for it. We are at your back. My husband was unable to travel since he was taking care of my mother-in-law. So my dad was taking care of all our traveling expenses. He was taking us to Turkey, to Dubai, wherever my kids want. So I am really blessed with all of these things. Why should I not concentrate on things I have rather than taking care of all those things which I don't have?
That is the outlook to have. That's the outlook to have. But yes. So many, it's almost like we've been conditioned to focus on the things that we don't have more so than, you know, having gratitude for the things that we do. I mean, that is so... You know, I suppose for you, you've really experienced, and I suppose because these are intangibles, you know, gratitude and positive thinking. You know, it's so hard to prove. And the only way people can prove it is to themselves. Yeah. Like you said, you've been through that. You've known when you are feeling down and feeling sorry for yourself or angry or upset that nothing good came out of it. It wasn't serving you. It wasn't helping you heal. And then you know that when you've changed your mindset, things have changed and things. So the only way to prove it to anybody is to prove it to yourself.
Karen, people do say, still say, you are a life coach. You have a lot of negativity. And I say, really? Have you experienced any of my negativity? And please let me know. Please do let me know so I can change it. Otherwise, I would have been so offended. I have been so argumentative. And I used to have like that angry face. Now I just say, really? Have you experienced it? Please let me know so I can change it in myself.
Well, you see, I mean, on so many coaches, you know, as myself included, so many coaches end up being coaches because of what they've dealt with personally. So because they know it to be true, you know, once you do your inner healing and once you do overcome these mindset issues and change your mindset, because things do change for you, it is quite often natural to then want to go out in the world and help others because you know it works. And it's not something that can be, we were talking about this, I think, on the last show, the difference with, you know, the problem with Western medicine is...
Yeah, you know, I have seen that show.
Somebody comes with the problem and you want that to be fixed. Well, you can't test all of these positive mindsets and how is that going to affect you? Because how can you test it in a in a scientific experiment?
I must say that my husband is also very supportive to me. Like I said, I want to do NLP coaching. He said, go for it. I said, I want to go there. He said, go for it. He don't even ask me where I am. Where am I going? He shows his love that way. So I was actually feeling guilty about it, that why do always think negative about him? Why don't I take positive things that he is actually allowing me for everything other than other Pakistani husbands who don't let their wife go out, work, learn, because they are actually thinking that, you know, that ego comes in between. My husband never do that. He loves me and he shows his love in his own way. So my father always says, Osama, you have everything. Just be thankful to it. Don't look for those things you don't have. Look for those things you have. Like as Shakespeare said, that one day he was a crying out for shoes. But when he saw a man without legs, he stopped crying. So this is a message that be thankful for what you have, not for something you don't have.
And then what happens? You get more.
Exactly. You can see me. I am really positive one now. I am actually feeling bad. I have experienced all those flooded emotions for a decade long.
Right.
Like I am actually missing those days now.
Yeah, can I have them back, please? Can I have those 10 years back? Can I have it back now? I've changed my mind.
I wish I have a remote control so I can rewind all that episode and take it back.
Yes, can we take it back? Well, there you go. But now you know that's the way forward. So now you're looking at helping others with relation to this. So how would people get in contact with you?
I have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook group. I have a WhatsApp number, my business WhatsApp. And I have a profile, a proper profile. Over there, I share my story. I share all the details. I tell people about neuro-linguistic programming and everything, like, it's my son, sorry for that.
So that's okay.
You want to see Karen auntie? Come. He will love
come and
me.
Say hello.
Say hello. Bye.
Come and say hello. Hello.
All right. So Karen, I feel amazing to help people, and I actually am very responsive to messages.
Right. Okay, so how do people find you? What's your Facebook page? What is it called?
My Facebook, my profile name is Asama Chandio. HUSSAMACHANDIO. And my page name is Behold the Power of Life with Basama Shimrose.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a long-winded. You're going to have to repeat that. Say
Behold,
that again.
Behold the Power of Life.
Behold the power of life
with Basama.
With Basama.
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
My group name is Reprogram Your Unconscious Mind.
Reprogram Your Unconscious Mind. So you've got NLP in your toolbox. How else do you help your clients?
I have a timeline therapy. I counsel them. I have an anxiety interventions going on. Like, I do it for myself as well.
Well, that's it. Most coaches and healers, it's about their healing journey first before then going on.
Metaphors are others. Really important, basically. What you experience, you can actually feel that. Like right now, whoever I have as a client, I whenever they are sharing with things with me,
yeah, no, and that's how that, and that's how it should be. It is all about sharing a story,
yes,
because there's going to be other people out there that may be going through what you have been going through, yeah. Whether
so
that's
this is what
with
I'm
relation,
saying, Karen. Experiences have dragged me here. Like I have really good amount of experiences. It can be either relationship. It can be either being mother, it can be either being mother of a neurodivergent, it can be a cancer survivor, and it can also be a teenage girl who had so many dreams, who was so career orientated, and in a way, like, in few moments, just because her father wanted her to marry someone from the family, she just said yes. And even like it was a decade after that, and again here she stands up with a career, with goals, and with helping people. Like, you know, it's a really amazing story for myself. If I would have someone having this type of a story, I would have really inspired her.
So, yeah. Oh, and you're going to be, for so many women, especially in Pakistan.
Recently, I had to go through someone, and I really inspired, he is my mentor, basically, Arslan Larik. And I am so inspired with his story that I really want to achieve something in my life now, before I die.
Brilliant. So this is your time now. Now your son's getting older. And, you know, and I'm sure, do you feel that with your mindset changing, that, again, everything's just running a lot smoother? Are things getting a lot easier?
Yeah. This is my struggling period, basically. But still, I am managing everything. Like, I take clients. I also take care of my kids. I also learn. I take my classes daily. I revisit and revise my work. So
yeah, you're
I can
still studying. You're still studying as well, aren't you? About to do your master's?
Yes, I am about to do my master's, but I keep revising it. So I cannot lack something. You know, I have done it. I'm done with it. We have that audio files with us from our mentor. It's a gift. It's from Ted James. It's from Ted James. So I go through that daily. I I give 1 hour to myself just to stay calm. So it's just that I keep on revising it so it's clear in my mind.
Perfect. So now this is your time to thrive. And I do. I think you must be a massive inspiration for many other women in Pakistan and across the world, because especially as you said, sort of many women are married off and they might think that's it for them. They can't do anything else. So for you to be an inspiration to those and to say, yeah, you can still have a marriage and have your children. You can still have that, but you can also still have whatever it is your calling is, whatever it is you're passionate about. So this is your journey now to try and inspire other women in Pakistan, and not just Pakistan, all across the globe.
I'm taking clients all over the world. I can take anyone who is in need. You can just DM me and you can WhatsApp me. I have my page, I have my group, I have my profile, and everybody is more than welcome there. They can share things up, they can actually ask for assistance. They can ask me my story and how am I helping myself to lead to future.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, because obviously, this is you're all the way over there. It's a different culture. Like you say, for women, especially, many probably this is all quite new for them. Even the talk about NLP and things. So I'm sure that you're.
NLP is.
Yeah. It's very.
What NLP is.
So you really are being the driving force over there to sort of change the mindset of women.
I have to take 1 hour to just explain what NLP is. So basically, right now, this is my job to help people learn about NLP.
Well, you're spreading the word, and there you go. It takes one person. If you can just change one person's mindset, then you've done there you go. You've done your job. You're going to feel good. They're going to feel good. And it's going to have a knock-on effect. It's like a ripple effect, isn't it? The more people you help, the more people it's going to spread out. I'm sure you're going to have many women really sort of looking to you as an inspiration. So that's
brilliant. Karen, what motivates me more is my father's word. He says, Usama, now you have chosen this career. Think about other person. They are coming with whole loaded heart. Try to help them as much as you can. Don't think about anything else. Just choose your client and help them. So it really motivates me, because you know what I feel? Creating results are the most important factor when you are a coach.
Absolutely. 100%. And the proof is in the results that you're getting. Yes. So, yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Karen.
And if anybody's out there who wants to get in touch, then please get in touch with Usama. All her details will be below. And if anybody's out there, if you are personally a coach or a consultant and you're ready to scale your business and you need help with designing, creating, marketing and selling your program, maybe you're getting ready to scale up and we have a fully automated sales and marketing system to help you, because there's only so many time, so many hours in a day. And if you have children or you have other things to do, right, you don't want to be surgically attached to your phone with building your business, get in touch. So for the rest of you, I will be back with a coffee with Karen on Thursday. So thanks for being here, Usama. You have a wonderful day, and the rest of you, I'll see you then. Bye for now.
Thank you so much.
Love Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.